I'm Carlos Virgen, and this is The Storyline, produced by The Day in New London, Connecticut. The continued polarization of political and ideological discourse in Washington and in towns and streets across the country came to a head in Charlottesville, Virginia on August 12, when a group of white supremacists and pro-Confederate groups rallied to protest the removal of the statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee in Emancipation Park. Counter-protesters, including students, clergy, and anti-fascist groups, also gathered, and what resulted were numerous violent clashes and eventually a car being driven by a member of a white supremacist group, plowing into a group of counter-protesters, killing 32-year-old Heather Heyer. Two state police officers, Lieutenant Jay Cullen, 48, and Trooper Pilot Burke Bates, 40, also died in a helicopter crash while trying to assist the police supervision of the protests. So how have the events of Charlottesville, the presidential election of 2016, and the growing polarized and divisive climate in the country affected our sense of American identity? What does it mean to us, to our various communities, to be American at this point in our history? And maybe more importantly, what do we need to do as individual citizens to move toward a more inclusive public discourse? The Storyline talked to a reverend from Mystic, a Republican man from Stonington, the organizers and various participants of a candlelight vigil held in Niantic. They talked to us about Charlottesville and the presidential election and how those events affected their ideas of what it means to be American. They also shared their thoughts about what they feel are our responsibilities as citizens during this divisive time in the country.
Two major myths, the myth of the American dream and the myth of the frontier. And so to be an American means to be saturated in those myths, which can lead us down some tricky paths.
Reverend Adam Thomas of St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Mystic, who rewrote his sermon after seeing news of what happened in Charlottesville.
But to be an American fundamentally is to go back to our roots, to our founding documents, to documents written by people who had slaves, and were espousing a series of tenets and hopes that they themselves were not ready to completely grab onto. When Thomas Jefferson wrote, "Our Creator has endowed us with certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and all men are created equal." At the time, he was talking about white landowners, right? And over time, we have added more and more people to that group. And it hasn't been perfect, and it hasn't been easy. And we've taken three steps forward and two steps back. And it seems to me right now, what is happening in our country is this flashpoint of tensions over several different identities that we have as Americans.
I'm 61 years old. I voted every election in my life since I was 18. The only other time I ever got involved in politics was when Ross Perot ran years and years and years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the only time. Other than that, I don't care about politics. I just want to live my life.
Stuart Peckham, who identifies as a Republican and who co-organizes a weekly pro-Trump rally in Pawcatuck.
But when I look at what's going on in this country right now, it just tears my heart apart. They're trying to do away with our history. Our history is our history, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. That's who we are as Americans. And you just can't hide it. You can't color it over with paint. You can't take the statues down. That's who we are. And this country is like no country in the world. We have rights and freedoms that people just don't have. And if it wasn't so, people wouldn't be trying to get here all the time, whether they come in legally or illegally.
Nowadays, there are a lot of people arguing over what it means to be American. And I think part of that is recognizing that we do all have different backgrounds and different ideas about things, and being respectful of that to an extent, but also speaking up for what is just absolutely unacceptable. And I think that especially this weekend in Charlottesville, we saw a lot of people who claim themselves as Americans that do not represent what, in my eyes, and I think, you know, most people with a conscience, what America should stand for, regardless of the politics. I think that there's a lot nowadays that's kind of being labeled as political issues that really should just be moral. And I think that there should be no political side that has room for hatred of any kind. And so, to me, I think that being American should involve being tolerant and listening to different people's perspectives, but really working together on things. Because I think that's the big thing, is when people refuse to listen and try to work things out, it just becomes awful on all sides.
Kate Eberle of Niantic, who co-organized the Candlelight Vigil in Niantic.
Hey, Pete, do you think it's possible that two guys as old as we are could have too many rock band t-shirts?
Impossible.
Do you think, in the great scheme of talking about popular music, that it's wrong to speculate what some of your favorite artists have as their backstage deli tray?
I think that would sound like fun.
Do you think if you were a musician, you'd consider having made it if you could have a deli tray backstage?
I would consider that I made it just if I were a musician. Have you heard me try to play music before?
I have. You remind me of Freddie Mercury.
Leave Work Now with Rick Koster. Find us on theday.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
When the topic moved to what we should do as citizens or what our responsibilities are, the common theme was that we should not be satisfied to just be bystanders. We should do something.
I think everybody needs to get involved in our country. We all need to take a stand and come together as a country. We're the greatest country in the world. And if people could get along, we could be even greater.
My goal is to continue to educate myself in the viewpoint of people who look different than me, believe different than I do, are a different gender and a different sexual orientation. And I want to understand and to meet and to get to know and to be in relationship with people who are different than I am. And the more that I can do that, the more I can help, the more I can understand the viewpoint of another, the stronger will my ability be to help advocate for those people and to stand alongside them when they are oppressed.
And I've taught my children all throughout their lives to stand up for their beliefs and speak out when they see something wrong. You know, if you're a bystander, you're just as guilty. And I think at this time, we all have a responsibility to raise our voices and just express our opinions and feelings. And, you know, I want to do that as peacefully as possible.
Robin Soul of Niantic, who co-organized a candlelight vigil in Niantic.
I think what I've begun to become aware of is we have to engage. We cannot become self-complacent, even with our Constitution and our rights and the vigor that we have tried to extend rights. We can't be complacent because the problems are still there and still simmering. So have I learned anything? I would say I have learned that we have to continue to remain engaged. That the battles that we used to bus for and march for are still being waged.
Chester Fairley, a lawyer in New London.
But for people not to take issues and put them on the back burner, because we don't have time. We don't have time for that. I feel like if a lot of people turn their head and look the other way and think that somebody else is going to take care of problems, and I think we all need to be involved.
Susan Steinberg Prentice of Niantic. The events in Charlottesville appear to have changed perspectives or to have brought to light some unpleasant realities for some.
I think that one of the things that that's happened to me in the last 6 to 8 months is I think I've lost some of my naivete and innocence. I was unaware and I was ignorant of and apathetic to the fact that much of the divisiveness that is now overt was around. I said in the sermon that I felt punched in the gut by what happened in Charlottesville, but that's because I benefit from white privilege. I benefit from these structures that have built this country in such a way to allow me to ignore much of what has led up to this boiling point that happened in Charlottesville.
Seeing the violence that took place in Charlottesville over the weekend, and knowing that that's not, at this point, it's not kind of a one-off thing. There have been a lot of really bad things happening increasingly, and we can't not do anything. I think we all have a responsibility to find some way that we can make it clear that this is not okay. My eyes a little bit more to how I need to play a role. Because I really do think that before this election in particular, a lot of us were kind of naive about the state of things in the country. And there's a lot being brought to the forefront now that maybe wasn't as visible to everyone before. It's definitely just a reminder that we all need to actually speak up and fight for the things that we believe in. And that it's not just, we shouldn't just be letting other people, you know, hoping things will work out, that we kind of all have a responsibility to, you know, make this the place that we want it to be.
It's a challenge to the country. We've been facing this challenge, oh my gosh, since the slaves were brought over and the country divided and we had a civil war. But the civil war did not resolve the problems of oppression. They did not resolve the problems of race. And I think what's shocking a lot of people is to realize they're still there. They're still simmering, and they require constant vigilance to protect the American values of equality for all races and types.
Stuart Peckham, the Republican gentleman from Stonington, saw the events of Charlottesville as inevitable and thought President Trump's response was adequate.
They had a permit to be there. Whether you like what they had to say or not, they had a right to be there. And their right was squashed. And you had these other people that came in. They were ready for battle. Then the white supremacists came in. Nobody likes them, you know. But again, they also have a right to be there. Not violence, but to speak their mind. And I understand the cops were told to stand down. And they funneled these two, all four hate groups into a one thing, and we had chaos. What exactly happened, I don't know. I wasn't there. Doesn't really matter. The part that bothers me more than anything is everyone is blaming our president for that. He had nothing to do with that. And whether he didn't put it in the terms that certain people like, doesn't really matter. He spoke against all four groups as being bad, exactly what he should have said. How do you blame him for it? He wasn't there. He didn't incite it. He didn't tell these protesters to go at it.
Moving forward, some struggled to find optimism while also holding out hope that we as individuals, groups, and communities will make the efforts necessary to be a more inclusive country.
I'm deeply sad because I just feel that we have been a great nation and a real leader for a lot of the world, and I see that slipping away. I'm worried about so many things that are happening with the economy, with the environment, with world relations with other leaders. And so, yeah, I mean, I think I feel like a scared American now, where before I was a proud American.
She was a black lady, lesbian, in the Navy. And she said, I hate Donald Trump. That girl came in to tell me she hated Trump, and when she left, I said, I got one thing to say to you. And she goes, what's that? I said, thank you. Thank you for coming and talking to me. I said, because most people throw stuff and make gestures and say other things. I said, we had a good conversation. We might not agree with each other, but we had a good conversation. You weren't rude to me. I wasn't rude to you. It was good. And she left, and she goes, yeah, you're right. It breaks my heart that, as Americans, we're all treating each other the way that we are treating each other.
My hope is that we are in the death throes of something and not the reemergence of something. That the election of 2016 was the final gasp of a United States that it only works for a certain group of people. And we're moving towards a country that is proud of its pluralism, that is excited about diversity, not just tolerant of the other, but excited to meet the other and to see what the other is bringing to the table. The only way I think that we're going to survive as a country is by choosing to be a nation of hope and peace and love and not fear and war and hate. And if that sounds like pie in the sky, wishful thinking, then I would invite whoever thinks that to read the gospel and see that it's actually a lot harder to love somebody than it is to hate them.
We'll continue to explore this theme over the next few weeks. We want to know, how are artists, activists, and political groups tackling this theme? What does it mean to be American to immigrants that are newly arrived, or to immigrant groups who have been in the region for decades? What does it mean to the residents of our rural communities? What do we do with memorials to infamous events and people in our history? Should those statues and monuments be torn down, or should they be preserved in some way? And, of course, we want to hear from you. How have the events of Charlottesville and last year's presidential election affected your thoughts on what it means to be American? Join the conversation. Give us a call at 860-701-4308 and record your thoughts.